Welcome to the Profit Talks podcast, hosted by the Orange County Inland Empire SBDC Network, funded in part by the U.S. Small Business Administration and the California Office of the Small Business Advocate. This show is the go-to resource for business owners seeking empowerment, education, and resources to succeed. Join us as we connect you with experts, share the triumphs of fellow entrepreneurs, and reveal the wealth of assistance available to you today to level up your business. So let's go. Let's dive in and learn more. Well, today, heavy on resources. You may want to pull out your pen and pencil because we're going to give you lots of acronyms, lots of agencies, lots of places to go if you need help in Riverside County, because today we're privileged to have with us a man who not only works for the Riverside County Office of Economic Development, that's a mouthful, but also as part of that runs one of the things, programs that they sponsor and put together, which is the Small Business Development Center out in that area. Welcome, if you will. Joaquin Tiarena, good Irish name here. How did you end up to be in both of these jobs? Before we describe what the jobs are, how did you find your way into this world here?
That's interesting. I didn't start out wanting to be an economic developer.
That wasn't, you didn't put that on your fifth grade essay, what I want to be in life.
That was not what I saw myself. I just fell into this. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. I was going to school and looking at things that I wanted to do. I'd done a number of different things, including construction. And
typically, I'll try anything. I'll do this for summer. I'll do this after college. I'll try this. But nothing was saying, I got to go look at the county of Riverside and see what.
Yeah, did not intern with some organization with as an economic developer. I started out working for the county at some time later with the county of Riverside, and then transferred to then agency was the Economic Development Agency, which turned into now the Office of Economic Development for Riverside County.
Okay.
And so I've been with the county over 30 years, and 25 of those have been with the economic development.
Wow. So just give us a quick background, typical Southern California Hispanic background. I mean, were you, has your family been here for generations or for just a generation? What did your dad do? What kind of life did you come out of? Because people in government, we don't seem to think of them as real people somehow. I don't know who they are, but we don't think of them as ordinary people. And yet, friends I have, they're just regular Joes here.
That's right. They're not churned out in some factory.
Right.
It's not stamped out.
Bureaucrats.
I came to Southern California, and specifically the Coachella Valley, as a very young child, a baby, actually. My father brought us here from Texas.
Okay.
I was born in Texas and raised in the Coachella Valley. I've been in the city of Indio for most of my life.
Okay.
And so my parents grew up in and around Texas, but moved out here. And they were farm workers. They were migrant farm workers, and that's how they came to this valley.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father took jobs doing other more sustainable work, year-round work that would keep them here.
Because they would come and they would go. They were migrants. They came for a while, and picked the crops, worked in the fields, helped harvest the food, and then left and went back somewhere
else. That's right. And so we ended up here. And my dad, he just loved it. You could look at the mountains around here in the Coachella Valley and see the snow from afar and not get too cold.
Oh, yeah.
That's perfect.
I get it. Well, I'm from the Midwest. Anytime you can see snow in your rearview mirror, that's a good day for me here if I don't have to be surrounded. All right. So it must have been a shock or a surprise when you suddenly stumbled into this world of economic development. I'm trying to grasp what you do, but do they get the whole impact of what you're doing and all this?
It is a very impactful work that we do. And it's not just us at the Office of Economic Development. We have 75 partners throughout the county, and it's a very exciting and rewarding. They launch their business, or we help them get their entitlements to start building a new office building or a new location for themselves. It's just very rewarding.
And I'll just say this and get it out of the way. Too often, too many people today think of government. Ah, government, that's the problem. Let's get rid of all this stuff. We don't need all these people. And then I go down the list and I say, so should we get rid of the FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority? Well, no, we need them. We got to guide the plane. Should we get rid of the post office? Well, no. Why does government work, though, to have such a bad reputation? We don't understand the impact it has. COVID, the Great Recession, all this stuff. A lot of money was poured into the nation. A lot of debate about how many trillion. But it all just came down to numbers. I'm not really sure what they did with all the money. I don't know how it affected me. You're to much more impact cities and communities in a way that I don't think a lot of these national government programs get that same sense of we moved the needle. We did something dramatic here. We can point to this.
That's right. And, you know, when you think about, like you mentioned, government, think about, you know, roadblocks or barriers to what someone wants to do. But in this case, it is totally opposite of that, because we're here to help. Let people know about the communities they may be looking into to expand their business into, help them with, we'll call it the red tape, to get through the process
and as quickly
and as efficiently as possible.
Sometimes it's not even the red tape. It's just understanding how the world works. There's all these steps. There's all these things you got to do. You can't just walk in and open up a building. You can't just knock down something and do it. There's rules. There's regulations. There's a process. There's all this stuff to do. And that can seem like an impediment. It is an impediment to people. And yet, every government, this government, I don't care what administration, they all want to see economic growth. Give us an economic picture of Riverside. Here I'm sitting at UC Irvine in the middle of Orange County that starts around Riverside, the city of Riverside, and goes, what, all the way to the Arizona border. I don't think people realize how big geographically the county is.
That's correct. And it's Corona. Corona is the sternmost city there that is up against Orange County.
Right.
And so we have Orange County to our west, San Bernardino County basically to our north, and San Diego and Imperial counties to our south.
Right.
We go from Corona, and I like to say from C to B, because it's from the city of Corona all the way to our city in Blythe, which is on that Arizona.
On the Colorado River right there.
We're over 7,000 square miles of county. And so we're the 10th largest in the United States and the fourth largest in the state of California. So geographically, very large.
And the county is all over the place. If you're in Corona and even Riverside, it tends to look more like Orange County, San Diego, whatever. Lots of business headquarters, lots of suburban sprawl. But as you start going on further, it's become this giant warehouse for the world. As all the stuff comes in and shipped into the West Coast here, it moves out there and has to get sorted in big Amazon centers and all the stuff here where they're going to ship it, deliver it, do all that stuff. Talk about that change and that whole economic development. I went out to Chino for something not long ago. I think Chino's right on the border. It's kind of, I'm not sure if it's Riverside or San Bernardino, but it used to just be a whole valley of dairies. The dairies are almost all gone. And it was just miles and miles of giant warehouses where they are bringing stuff in. They move it inland to sift it, to sort it, to ship it by rail, or to bring it back in and FedEx and Amazon and all that stuff. I know that's what the Ontario airport's largely used for these days. It isn't so much passenger traffic, it seems like, as it is UPS and FedEx and all this kind of stuff. It's become a logistics hub for the whole country.
That is true. That is a very important industry for our county. And certainly, it's helped grow some areas, but we're not just about that. You know, we're a 2.4 million in our population in our county.
Wow.
We go from everything, from, like you mentioned, the urban built-up areas like the city of Corona, Riverside, Moreno Valley, Temecula, some very large cities.
Yeah, Temecula.
Within
right,
that,
the wineries,
we have a varied areas. We have, you know, the wine country and
I forgot all about that, but we'd love to go there. And yeah, I somehow think, well, that's Riverside County.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Come and enjoy some really good quality wine in Temecula. And
came in the 1980s from the Midwest, frozen Midwest. I watched one too many Rose Bowls. I went to the University of Michigan and I said, I'm not living in the snow any longer. Beautiful land of opportunity and golden sunshine. It largely has been.
That is. Yeah. And so, you know, we have deserts and we have the communities like the Coachella Valley, 9 cities in the valley and many unincorporated areas. Some beautiful time, you know, when it's not raining, actually.
Yeah.
Again, you know, lots of activities, lots of things,
so
a lot of industries.
There's another whole area. So when my late father decided he was going to leave Michigan, which he swore he'd never do, the snow finally got to him and my mother got ill. And I said, I'm an only child. I can't come back there. Why don't you come out here? Came to the Coachella Valley, bought a home in Palm Desert in Sun City. And suddenly he was like a reformed alcoholic. He's telling everybody, why are you still drinking? Why are you still doing the world? Why are you still living in Midwest? I'm playing golf in the middle of February. This is nuts. Why did I stay there all these years? It's incredible. And that Coachella Valley just continues to grow and boom. He left me a house out there. So I still rent it out and go out there. And gorgeous. There's a million golf courses and a million great restaurants and a million great things to do. And it's just a wonderful lifestyle out there. And it's more than just a tourist Mecca. It seems to be becoming a year-round destination as well here. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, and speaking about the Coachella Valley, tourism is one of the major industries out here, but so is agriculture. still a $1 billion-plus industry in the whole of Riverside County. So we're very much a little of everything, if you will.
And that always strikes me. I drive out to Palm Springs, Coachella Valley, Palm Desert, whatever out there to go spend a week or work in the house or whatever I'm going to do if it's not rented. And all I see coming in towards L.A., Orange County, where I spend all of my time, rows and rows of trucks filled with what look like onions and all sorts of things. And I think, where's this coming from? It's coming from out there. You go a little past the Coachella Valley, a little past Indio out there, and it's all agriculture all the way to the border, I guess. I mean, there's massive agriculture.
Yes, it is. And, again, upwards of 75% of the winter crops for this nation come out of the Coachella Valley and the Imperial Valley.
So, yes.
And we have some other areas in the near Blythe, the Palo Verde Valley, that also produces agricultural products. So, yes, it's...
And that's being challenged deeply by drought and water and lack of water and the Colorado River and too much of it's going too many places and it's too low and everybody's trying to figure out... Because it was when water was plentiful, they took the desert and basically turned it into agriculture. And now that's a challenge. They're trying to figure out, is that sustainable, or if so, how? No, that's got to be a big challenge, economic development out there to sustain
this. It is. Water and water issues, can impede growth in certain areas. But at this point, they still have sufficient water supplies to irrigate the farmland that is currently under cultivation. So it's still a very much thriving industry.
But they're talking about pivoting and moving from different types of crops. Maybe I thought they grow like rice out there someplace, which just takes a lot of water. And they're saying maybe not rice anymore. Maybe we got to shift the things we're growing out here. Almonds that are very water intensive. I know they should go up in Central California. They're ripping trees out and replacing them. We're going to change the crops. We're still going to have agriculture, but maybe not as water intensive crops as some of the stuff that's been grown there.
That is happening. And again, there's innovation happening in our, agriculture. And,
yeah.
And so water is a commodity. They're trying to, come up ways with that they can use less water.
Exactly. Stretch it farther and get more out of it and do more.
Absolutely.
With it.
Yeah. So there's so much innovation. And then different types of innovation coming where they're growing more on less land.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's a different situation. But again, it's still a thriving industry in Riverside County, throughout the county. And some areas, as we mentioned before, Temecula is a lovely place to
Temecula's been. When I went out there, there were half a dozen wineries. Now there seems to be 20 or 30 or 40 wineries out there. I mean, it's
coming up on 70 wineries in the community there. And every year, more are expanding their footprints, adding hotels and restaurants and those kinds of things that are the amenities that folks that want to come in for even a day trip want to experience.
So I say this because I don't want to sound like an Orange County snob, but if you say to most people around here, Riverside, they go, yeah, Riverside. Okay, so it's the city of Riverside and something else beyond. How about Temecula? Oh, yeah, I love Temecula. How about Palm Springs and Coachella? Oh, I love out there. Indio. For many years, Indio was like, oh, Indio, that's just a rundown area. Nothing's going to be there. Now it's the center of the music business, the Indio Coachella Valley music festivals and the Coach music festival, all these things. Suddenly, when did this happen? When is Coachella the coolest thing to young kids in the planet here? They all dream of coming to the giant Coachella Valley music festivals. Got these huge entities, these worldwide entities, Temecula, the wineries, Palm Springs and Coachella Valley and the music festival there. And then this hidden giant of not just warehouses and stuff and part of that area, but this huge area of agriculture. I think it's literally a well-kept secret. I don't think most people realize what's out there and how much is out there.
When I look out at this time of the year, when those folks come here from the north, escaping those
the snowbirds, right?
Yes, we do see them. And we're happy to have them. It's part of our economy here locally. It's just an example of how varied it is in our county.
That's the picture I wanted people to get. This is a big area, very diverse, in state of flux, a lot of growth, a lot of changes going on. Let's talk about some of the challenges that come with the change. We talked about water and stuff. You go further and further out into the desert, into closer to the Arizona border, there's less and less industry out there. These are maybe one industry, one horse towns. And you were talking about Blythe, which is way out on the Colorado River somewhere. Blythe was mostly a prison. And that's what upheld this small community. And then the prison's closing. I grew up in the Midwest. When the factory closed in these little towns, the towns dried up and went away. Nobody knew what to do. There were one business towns here. Too much of the Midwest was built on that, much of it the car business. What does that do to a town like Blythe when suddenly the prison, which they all rely on there for their economic growth, goes?
Certainly it brings challenges. And so the state has announced the closure of Chuckawalla Prison out there coming in 2025. The guards that work out there and other jobs.
Restaurants where they eat and businesses where they shop and the whole world. It's a trickle-down effect here. That's what's providing most of the income, and you take all that income away, it's hard for these towns to survive.
It certainly provides, you know, that, you know, additional taxing for the community,
right?
And losing those folks and losing those jobs and losing all of that from there, it impacts the city, obviously. And so
how do you guys step in? What do you offer? Your job is to try and come up with a new vision, so infuse some new ideas, maybe help them new cash, new companies, new things, try and pivot it in another direction. See if you can't interest people in this area here.
Well, one of the first things that we did was to look at and undertake a study. We contracted with an economic development organization that to kind of give us an analysis, an overview, what's going on, what works, what isn't working, that kind of thing, and get us some background. You know, what are the gems out there? What are the things that are working?
What do we got to work with that we're not working with? Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then build on those kinds of things. Now, early on, we have been working as a county to assist the city and the community around there, because there's some unincorporated communities in that area, Mesa Verde, Ripley, some others in and around that area that are impacted by what happens to the city.
Right.
And so those are the things that we've started doing, was engaging the community, bringing out the county resources, and in addition, which includes the Coachella Valley Small Business Development, which is hosted by the County of Riverside's Office of Economic Development.
Give me some stories. So what have you envisioned? You just did a ribbon cutting for something out there, I know. How are you going to help this town survive and thrive and pivot in a new direction? What things have you identified? What kind of businesses? Tell us a story. Something happening in Blythe.
Great story. As you mentioned, this Saturday, February 3rd, we had a ribbon cutting on a farmer's market. We call it the Blythe Fest. We received a U.S. Department of Agriculture grant for $180,000 to help support a market, to sustain it for 3 years. And we started helping local entrepreneurs go through the process of learning how to start their own business specifically for the market fest. We used another program that
you can't get a big job. Maybe you got to create your own job. Maybe you got to become a maker. You got to be a farmer again, or you got to be a creator or something here. It's trying to get small businesses to thrive again in place of one large employer here.
Exactly. So what we're looking at is giving the community members an opportunity to, maybe they've got a hobby and they want to graduate that hobby into a business. And
right.
So we help them launch this business, whatever it might be. Maybe it's some sort of food or food related.
Baking cookies. We had somebody in here a while ago. He left some big job. He's always wanted to make mom's cookies and sell them and do this for himself rather than work for some big enterprise here.
You know, it's a number of different things out there. And so what we were able to do is get the grant. We partnered with the city of Blythe and the city on the chamber of Blythe to put on this market fest. So every Saturday, during the time that the weather permits, during the fall and spring, we will have a hosted farmer's market.
And create a marketplace and a place where people will come and gather and share resources and build an audience and all these things. You know, I grew up in the Midwest, as I said. When I was a kid, I lived in Detroit. Detroit was the fifth biggest city in America in the early 1960s when I was a kid there. I don't think it's in the top 20 anymore. Fell long, fell hard, fell over a long period of time. They're still trying to pick themselves up. Major bankruptcies back, the city declared bankruptcy as they lost the auto industry. As all the auto industry moved around the world and in other places here, their whole reason for being, that whole feeder system, started to disappear. And it's been devastating to watch. And yet there are so many things about the revival of Detroit and they're trying to reinvent themselves, and they have found new businesses. And you see what's happening in the scrappy parts of the city itself, where it's almost like urban farming again, trying to take these abandoned lots and turn them into something here. And there's shoots, there's sprouts sprouting up all over the city. I haven't been back in a long time, but it seems like that's what you guys do. When the winter hits, when something bad happens, when change occurs, you come in and help reseed everything here and get it growing again here.
You know, and that's what we're trying to do, is just pivot and see where we can help the community regrow in another area, some organic things from the standpoint of existing community members who may have had an idea, I was sitting on it for a long time, just decide, hey, right. time to maybe launch this new enterprise. And right. so that's what we're helping out in the community, helping them through one of our existing programs, a Thrive small business grant program that was launched in Riverside County. We were able to help them with, you know, some seed money to launch their.
Talk about seed. I was shocked to see out in the Coachella Valley over the last 5 to 10 years, parts of the Coachella Valley, like Desert Hot Springs, I think, that were pretty run down, not the best parts of the thing, have found whole new reasons, not just for warehouses, but for marijuana cultivation and for cannabis cultivation and hemp cultivation. Here's a whole new cash product again here that's popping up. Not just new ways to grow things, but new things to grow and new ideas that this area is perfect for.
You know, that's certainly, the cannabis was a big, you know,
a big godsend, really. Wow.
I wouldn't say that necessarily, but I mean, it was, right. was just another thing that folks could, that, you know, retail.
And, you would and never have thought 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that yeah. they'd be selling this anywhere, much less out there.
It's no longer just on the street corners.
Yeah, it's not demonized. It's legitimized.
Necessarily the, you know, the bonanza that maybe some were hoping for.
Right.
And so there's so much other things out there. And I think that we're about is promoting our location, the county of Riverside, what I think are very great areas to come and look at. You could be anywhere here and you've got mountains you could go to. You're driving distance of the mountains, of the deserts, of the...
I'll tell you what's so great about living out there is you're within a couple hours of anything you can imagine. A couple hours of Vegas, a couple hours of Mexico, a couple hours of the ocean. You're in the desert. There's mountains. You can go and see the snow, or you can be down in the desert and it's 100 degrees. I can't think of too many places in America. You know, when I grew up in the Midwest, you drove 4 or 5 hours in Ohio or Michigan, still looked like Ohio or Michigan. It wasn't that dramatically different. Took a long time to get out of that landscape and to get to another world. If you like access to everything imaginable, it's there. You're kind of in the center of it all there. Let's talk about some of the other programs that you put in place. People hear the word economic development, me included. I don't know what that is. I know the goal is to economically develop things, to bring more industry, to bring more grants and federal programs and jobs and industries and all that. I get the goal, but how the heck you do that? If somebody asked me to take over your job tomorrow and said, Joaquin can't make it, Paul, can you sit in for him for the next week? I don't know what I'd do. I don't know who I'd call. I don't know who I'd talk to. Would I just answer and put out fires? Or you must be proactively seeking things, grants, opportunities, bringing businesses in, helping businesses get through the red tape. Talk me through some of this. What's the day in the life of the economic development like?
Well, that's interesting because that is what it is. It's, you know, it's part promotion. It's part, you know, education. It's part, you know, letting people know, you know, the great things that are happening.
Part imagination.
Opportunities yeah. that exist. And see, so any of those things that you're talking about, the investment, we're looking to enhance the economic vitality of our county. And then so that means a number of different things and activities and programs. And so you mentioned those, and we do. We have, part of that is, okay, someone wants to come in and say they'd like to start operating out of our county and they don't know where they want to be at. Or what are the, hey, I need some information on demographics.
Or I'm debating, do I build my factory here? Do I build it down in Arizona? What's it like? What's the economic landscape? What kind of incentives do I get? What kind of workforce? Make me a deal. I'm shopping around here.
There you go. That's all the information that your business owner can get from us. We're looking to give them the information that they need to make a, you know, well-informed business decision. We want to show them and showcase what the county has to offer here and right. and just all of the things that we can do for them.
I'm going to rattle off a couple of programs here that they told me to plug here. These are current programs that the Riverside County Office of Economic Development currently puts together. We talked certainly one about this show is sponsored by the Small Business Development Corporation. You guys are the hosts for the Coachella Valley Small Business Development Center. Lots of long words, lots of acronyms. And you're the director of that center, in addition to whatever other duties you do for the County of Riverside Economic Development. And the county does put other programs like, what's Small Business Thrive? That sounds noble and aspirational. How do you help small businesses thrive?
I mentioned it earlier that the Small Business Thrive program is a County of Riverside grant program, business training, the technical assistance and grant program.
Grant. There's money that you're ready to hand out to people. And most of us were saying, oh, it's so tough. Where am I going to afford this? How can I do this? And you tell me this grant, not a loan that I got to pay back. You hand me the money and that's just the seed money to get started here. Free money.
Exactly. Exactly. And what this was, American Rescue Plan Act money, that the funding that came to the county, and we put that to use to help generate and, you know, launch businesses and expand existing businesses. So there are grants for different training opportunities that entrepreneurs or business owners could go through. This would provide that funding.
And are these grants just for giant corporations or wealthy people? They're not for me. They're not for mom and pop entrepreneurs. Come on. I don't know how to fly for these. Nobody's going to give me one of these things. Or am I wrong here?
Well, we did. We have been giving out those. I think to date, we've awarded over 250 grants, ranging from everything from, you know, $1,500 up to $5,000. So we've done that already. And we've had a number of businesses that launched, you know, with that funding.
How's that difference then? You got another one called Business Assistance Now program. There was a Business Thrive program. There's also a Business Assistance Now, not tomorrow, but now. What does that do?
That's another great program that we've launched, actually launched during COVID, when you knew that there was a lot of information coming out.
Right.
County of Riverside developed this Business Assistance Now program, helping people that are interested in coming into our county. Again, we help them with permit assistance, going through the permitting process and mm-hmm. to get their entitlements to build a new building, a new factory, whatever that right. might be. And we provide information on financial resources, and then we partner with other county agencies like our Workforce Development Center for hiring and training assistance.
Sort of a boot camp. Let's get going now here. And then innovation program. What's an innovation? That everybody's got to have an. I'm in the innovation center. What does that mean? We're trying to take new ideas and turn them into something. How do you take and develop new ideas in Riverside?
We have innovation happening every day in Riverside County. We talked a little bit about agricultural innovation, but mm-hmm. a number of different things going on around the county with innovation. In addition to that, the Board of Supervisors of the County of Riverside has designated April as Innovation Month. And that's when we really focus in the county with our partners on showcasing the innovation that goes on throughout our county. It's a very interesting mix because you mentioned Riverside started out as, you know, agricultural oranges.
Oranges, now, Riverside, Orange County and Riverside. This is where Sunkist Collective, all the little farmers that called themselves Sunkist Oranges and stuff here. That's just somebody told me there's like one of the original orange trees or descendants of one of the original orange trees.
It's still there. So, you know, that's the start of Riverside's proper, the city. But, you know, you think about innovation and how that has developed in our county, working with our partners at University of California, Riverside, their EPIC program there. They help tech entrepreneurs, you know, go through the process.
And a lot of ag tech, they really are trying to figure out how do you grow more, faster, better, cheaper, different, less water, all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of innovation programs. I don't think people realize the work that's happening at UC Riverside today in agricultural innovation. Because we think innovation has to mean technology. Yeah, maybe it's the technology of tracking crops through drones and micro imaging. We had somebody you're talking about. They can shoot an infrared picture of the field, then tell you where the bugs are and the crops are going bad and all this stuff here, and they can get to it before it's too late. Pretty wild stuff. Yeah,
and it involves tech innovation and other types of innovation that are happening at those locations. And we have these centers throughout the county, and so those are areas that are attracting these visionaries, these entrepreneurs who have a great idea and they need to develop it, go through a proof of concept process. And so that we have that in our county.
And then funding. Don't just let it sit on a shelf as some academic research. That's nice. Let's turn it into something like they're trying to do here at UCI's Innovation Center. All right. So all these things, innovation, assistance now, help them thrive, cut through red tape, attract them to the thing, even international trade. I don't think of Riverside as an international trade destination. And yet, I must be wrong because it's all the logistics and everything. You got a whole international trade center out there.
Well, we have a robust manufacturing center in our areas, too. And so there's export different products, just a number of things that we export. And so, you know, we have a leading export where we export the majority of items from Riverside County. Mexico is one of our top exporters have a relationship with, Canada, Japan, China, and then the Netherlands. So there are the
Netherlands. Then why would they ship stuff to the Netherlands here? But it must be food related or other sorts of things.
Could be food related. It could be any number of other things that we are manufacturers are making in Riverside County. It might be beverage manufacturing. It might be food or food related.
Give me some other crazy ideas that I wouldn't think are being made in Riverside. Like I know and up in San Bernardino, where the old Air Force Base, what is it, not Marches in Riverside, the other one, where they're trying to do space technology and stuff here. Yeah, Virgin Galactic and some of these other things. I don't know if that's Riverside or if that's San Bernardino, kind of, but there are things happening out there that we have no idea that they're doing. Well, give me some ideas. Drone technology or something, building drones out there?
Yes, there's something like that. Even beverage manufacturing. Now, in my area, I've been fortunate to help a business manufacturer here that wanted to expand his business. He was in one of our communities, unincorporated communities, was looking for a larger, facility to incorporate all of his, processes, including manufacturing and bottling on site. And so we assisted him in finding a location.
You got to bottle this stuff somewhere here. Why not out there?
Exactly. Why not here, right? Yeah. And so he found this new location. And then when he moved in, he kept growing in that location. And thankfully, there was room for him to grow. And so now he's grown into this multi-million-dollar operation. And he's exporting to other countries.
Is this where we're going to make everything? Because we can't make it in Orange County. We can't make it in LA County. We can't make it in San Diego. Partly in people have grown, let's say, regulations and everything. It's just growth. The land is so valuable as housing and apartments and everything else. I'm going to tear it down to build a factory there? It's hard to justify the value of that land is so much more valuable of residential development and people than it is in turning it into more factories. So factories seem to be moving further inland. And maybe it's Riverside County. Is that where we're going to make stuff? It's certainly where we're going to store stuff and separate and sift through it and do all the logistics and moving it around.
We'd love to have that. But, it is growing. It's a manufacturing sector. It had been down across the nation, but now we see that it's coming back.
Well, reshoring. We're worried so COVID made us scared. It took an awful lot of time to get it from China. That was real cheap in China. But, boy, you give a disruption like COVID and suddenly I can't get things. So maybe I got to have something closer to the vest, something I can get a hold of quicker. And then we worry about trade wars and tariffs and all of that stuff. I see more and more people triangulating. Yes, they still make stuff in Mexico for economic reasons or environmental reasons. Yes, they may still make it in China. But more and more of this stuff is reshoring. I hear that over and over again. We got to find a place to remake this stuff, at least part of it back here in this country, not just for pride, but as protection. We don't want to have disruptions. We don't want to have challenge. They shut the border down or there is a trade war with China or something or COVID hits and we put all our eggs in one basket. We're in trouble here.
That's right. So, we do promote the fact that our areas are very competitive for pricing on our land out here, land.
It's endless land. You got tons and tons of it. Yeah, right.
For manufacturing, for industrialization,
all this stuff here. All right, one last area that I'm fascinated with that nobody's talking about, but I've heard more and more rumbling about it, read more and more stuff about it, and that is mineral extraction, lithium particularly. Everybody's going to lithium batteries, your phone, your car, your everything. They need this lithium everywhere, and where do they go? They tend to go out in apparently salt, flat, desert kind of areas to find this stuff. They built some big projects in Nevada, and I hear a lot of stuff around the Salton Sea happening, which was kind of a dead, distressed area for a long time. The lake went dead, and all the problems they've had keeping that. Do we drain it? Do we shrink it? What do we do to restore it? And all of a sudden, what was a tourist mecca turned into kind of this smelly area that nobody wants to go out to. They're finding a new reason and a resource out there. And I'm hearing geothermal. I'm hearing geothermal energy being developed in lithium. What about that kind of under the ground stuff here? Are we going to be back to miners and the 49ers and the borax wagon trains and all this Death Valley wagon trains, all the stuff I grew up as a kid hearing about, mineral extraction?
That's very interesting. And yes, Lithium Valley, it's the new gold rush, right?
Yeah.
So we do. We have pilot projects that are happening in and around the Salton Sea. Now, a portion of the Salton Sea, the northern piece, is within Riverside County. Hmm. The bulk of the Salton Sea is within Imperial County.
I didn't know that. Okay, so it's right on the border.
And so, you know, right. there are some that are happening already. And yes, there's concern that, you know, they might just extract all the minerals and head out of town with those, and right. there would be no benefit to the local community, which has experienced challenges over the years that the Salton Sea has receded and, you know, become more and more salty and you know,
it's become a real dead sea
for marine life. And right. yeah. so those are the kinds of things that, you know, that those areas are challenged with. So County of Riverside, along with the Imperial County, have formed relationships and collaborations, including a Salton Sea Authority, that they sit together and talk about these issues. And so part of that conversation is, you know, making sure that we collaborate with each other on how this is all worked out. Now, obviously, the state of California is also involved.
Right.
So there's some really...
This could become Lithium Valley, as you said. This could become, you hear of Silicon Valley. This could be, I think it already is envisioned to be one of the biggest producing areas of lithium in the country, maybe the world here. There's that kind of resource there. And what people kind of thought of as a down and pressed area around the Salton Sea might come back in a big way here. But then the other one's geothermal energy. I never even think about geothermal source of energy production, but I know there's been, because they have geothermal vents and desert hot springs. There's all these bubbling hot springs and, you know, stuff coming up from the ground, this heat coming up out of the ground, and these, I don't know what they are, lava tubes or something or whatever this is. Yeah.
That's correct. And so geothermal is another opportunity for renewable energies to complement our existing solar and wind energy.
Yeah, and they're building giant solar farms out there like crazy out there and everything.
That's right. And so those are all in the mix. And you know, again, you know, there's some projects out there they're trying to move forward with, and they've been there for some time showing that. And obviously the lithium potential has been identified as vast.
You're right at ground zero here. You're the guys discover when people say, oh my goodness, there's nothing left in Blythe, there's nothing left around the Salton Sea, what are we going to do? Hey, how about geothermal? Hey, here's some new opportunity. How about lithium? Hey, how about, so this is leaving, but maybe this could come. And you're constantly trying to have to find innovative ways to repurpose, to repivot, and then to bring people out and say, don't give up on this area. This is the new gold rush. This is the, you're going to be wishing you'd bought a house there. You're going to be wishing you'd moved out here. You're all going to be clamoring when this all hits. You know, we can see it coming. There's some waves coming, really strong waves in this area here. You're right at the center of it there.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we just are looking to how we best leverage those things for the benefit of the community, not just our county, but also in prep in that area with our neighbors to the south, Imperial County. So,
well,
yes, very exciting, very exciting.
Very exciting stuff. All right, so if I want to join this revolution, if I want to suddenly, I've been overlooking Riverside for far too long. If I want to look into the possibilities of Riverside and the new opportunities that exist there and the funds and the grants and the assistance and the help and the land and all the guidance, how did they get in touch with this organization I never even heard of, the Riverside County Office of Economic Development, RIVCOED? How do I find this thing and find you?
Well, you know, and we're on the web, obviously, that will share with you our number for...
give us a website, give us a number, give anything here. So, this has been a secret for too long, too few of us. I know you're doing great work, but we wanted you to do even better work out here. I always put people on the spot, and I have these directors come in and go, what is our website? What is our phone number? I don't ever call it here.
We are rivcoed.org, and on that site, you will find us with information on all of our programs.
I said, and one of which is not to be dismissed, they're the sponsor of this podcast here, the Coachella Valley Small Business Development Center, this nationwide organization, another one that I don't think enough people are aware of or take advantage of. These SBDC centers set up all over the country, funded by the SBA in local states. There's one in the Coachella Valley. There's one here in Orange County. We're all part of the OCIE SBDC. And one of the centers of the 6 or 7 or 8 centers, whatever they got, is out in your area, the Coachella Valley,
right,
for which you are the director of here.
Well, and you know, we provide services to entrepreneurs and existing building owners at no cost to them.
That's what's shocking to me.
You know, that's the best deal out there.
Yeah.
And no cost.
Because you have this funding and this mandate. Go make things work. Go help people. We want to see businesses grow, not just because the county wants more money and more taxes and more people, because we as a country want to sustain and grow small businesses. We know they turn into bigger businesses. More and more people are employed by small businesses, the easiest thing to find and develop. Is that your focus? I'll give you one last hard question here. Too many times I see development centers, whether they're city or county or state, they're all looking for the home run. They all want to get the next Tesla factory. I want to get some huge win that takes forever and a million people are fighting for it and they go for that. Or do they try and develop within? Maybe we can't get the next Tesla factory here, but we can get a lot. We can start a lot of small businesses that, who knows, may grow to be Teslas on their own. And we can grow our own enterprises. We can build our own business. Are you looking for that one big home run that everybody goes, hooray? Or are you? Is that old style thinking and now we're trying to develop organically and sprout up lots of seeds and see what grows all over the place?
Well, you know, that is that thing. You start to think about how to organically grow businesses because there are,
right.
You know,
the rather than bring them in. Yeah. Right.
Is, you know, a lot of folks want to do their own thing. And
right.
So that is in. And as you mentioned, attracting others to our county. But, you know, they're always going to be.
Grow from within, not just grow from without. Too often
development
agencies want to grow from without. We're going to go poach. Texas is famously always trying to poach businesses from us. Come here, lower taxes or something here. We're trying to take what you have and bring it here. Maybe we should develop, like Richard doing, from within. Let's look at what we got and make the most of it and turn it into something.
That's right. And so, was mentioning before, our website, you can go there and look at all this information. It's real simple. It's rivcoed.org, rivcoed.org.
Okay.
That's,
and you see all the different
programs. Page. You can, in there, you can go through and ask for assistance. If we mentioned the Thrive program. We mentioned international business. We mentioned
the Now program, assistance. Innovation, all the stuff here. So what else? And if they want to reach you in your role as the director of the Coachella Valley Small Business
yes.
Development Center, how do they reach you there?
Real easy. My email is first initial J, last name Tijerina. That's JTIJERINA at RIVCO.org.
Okay. Well, so you're not hard to find. There's no excuse, folks. Quit moaning about the fact you don't know how to start a business or where to go or how to get through the red tape, how to find funding, how to help assistance. It's there for free. They're looking for you. I think the power of this program is to connect resources with people. And that's what we're hoping to do here. So thanks for tuning in. I hope you come back and tell us, because there's some really cutting edge stuff, geothermal, lithium, ag innovation, water conservation. There's some really critical, innovative stuff going on in River. What I think of as sleepy, quiet out there, Riverside County. It's not so sleepy or quiet anymore. It's growing and thriving in lots of ways, interesting ways. And I hope you come back and share some of the stories of that success as it grows.
I'd love to, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. We went over, but there was a lot to talk about here. As we conclude another episode of the Profit Talks podcast, we hope we've empowered your entrepreneurial spirit. Reach out to us to connect with our experts, and let's take your business to the next level. Keep those dreams alive, keep pushing forward, and stay tuned for more. And if you liked what you heard in today's podcast and you want your business to reach new heights, just contact us at profittalkspodcast.org or call us at 1-800-616-7232. That's 1-800-616-7232. So until next time, keep thriving.